Good morning. We have 143 of us here in the building, and 98 devices are tuning in from states like Texas, Iowa, California, Arizona. We have an unknown state and Quintana Roo, Mexico. Who's on vacation in Mexico this week? Whoever you are, we're glad that you've tuned in. Mark and Anita. Mark and Anita, hello. And everyone else. Glad that you are with us. Hey, yesterday we handed out backpacks. I say we, those that organized this event, and I applaud them and really hold them up. I'm so proud of them for their hard work on this. 216 backpacks were handed out yesterday. The items that were collected were done so at a discount of $3,000. Discounted items, and this congregation put forward $7,000 worth of school supplies for a total of $10,000 worth of supplies that were handed out yesterday. Isn't that awesome? And so we do that for God's glory and in the name of God. And so I have some pictures I want to share with you real quick, and I think we'll look back on this year with amazement someday, I hope, at what continued to happen in God's name in spite of the obstacles that come our way. So corona or no corona, school goes on and life goes on, and people's needs continue. And so people greeting and welcoming those that are coming in. And I just think it's wonderful what happened yesterday. And you guys were a huge, huge part of that. It doesn't happen without you. And so great job. Yeah, I love that picture right there. So kids are going to go back to school and be well supplied, and families blessed because of it. So excellent. Today's sermon, turn in your Bibles to Philippians 2:19. Today's sermon is going to be a little different. And so I want to illustrate a point for the sermon, but I want to do it at the beginning, and then I'll talk about it as we get closer to it. It will make sense when we get to that point. So, to illustrate part of the sermon today, Zach's going to come up, and we're going to have a contest. And this contest is old versus young, because I'm now officially 50, if you didn't know that. Our secretary, let's see, what do I call her? Not the old secretary, the former secretary, Janet, for the longest time would call me preacher boy. So Janet, I'm just curious, am I now a man? I'm 50, I have a grandchild, right? I'm bald, surely I'm a man now, surely I'm preacher man. Anyway, so I'm representing the older ones among us, and I don't know the perfect age to put that at. Maybe I'm going to say 45. 45 and older, you're with me. 45 and older, okay? And younger than that, you're with this cat. So that's his. You're on his team, right? And so we're gonna take 5 shots at this basket. Here's our mark. And we're going to see who's going to win this contest. Age and wisdom versus whatever you got. So 5 shots. Yeah, that's one. Yes. Thank you. I need encouragement. Oh, I felt that one when it left my hand. I knew that one was off. All right. I'm one. Let's see. This one's for the old folks. Whew, calm down. There we go. That's two. 2 out of 3. 2 out of 3, yes. Okay. Oh, I knew it when it left. Am I down to one? I think 3 will win it. I think 3 will get it. Yes. 3. You got to get 4. In case you're wondering. Well, tie goes to age. The tie, what now?
If I lose, it could just be a birthday present. All right, I'm going to go.
That's really a good thing. This is... Was it going in?
It was going in.
Okay, fine. Here.
That's good. Goaltending.
Good game. Good game. Good job. Okay, we'll get to that later. It will make sense, trust me. All right. I can think that I won. Maybe I won. I'm not sure if it was going in. All right. Philippians 2:19 says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they, and the they here is Christians, by the way, they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So Paul's sending Timothy to the Philippians, and Timothy's going to be a great encouragement, but Paul brags on Timothy in the process of writing in this letter about what he's doing. He brags on Timothy, but he also kind of makes a commentary on a lot of Christians at that time concerned for their own interest. All right, let's flip to 2 Timothy 3. We have this passage about... in the last days, and we're still in the last days until Jesus comes, and times are going to get difficult. Verse 2, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. So we have a list that goes all the way down, and in verse 4, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that I hold up that statement as something for you to consider, or us to consider. Are we lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? Which am I, a lover of pleasure or a lover of God? Verse 6, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions. So you notice words, in this passage, lovers of self, lovers of money. You get the idea of kind of cravings, or this is emotion. It's feelings that are good, lovers of pleasure, various passions. And then in Titus 3, verse 3, Paul writes to Titus and he talks about how we used to live before Christ, before we were Christians. He says, we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures. The word for passion here is the idea of longing for something. And the word for pleasure is sensual delight. So it's whatever delights the senses. And the truth is, as humans, we like to have fun. We like to feel good. And we like things that cause us to feel good. We just do. It's how we're made. And so inherently in that is not sin, or it's not wrong, but there comes a point that it is. So, for example, and I want to get to some kind of hit on some different types of things that we enjoy. I enjoy food. You know why? Because I feel good when I eat it. And depending on what I'm eating, that depends on how good I feel and maybe how hungry I am. And I enjoy TV. We watch TV. It makes us, depending on what you're watching, it may make you laugh. It might make you cry. You might enjoy drama. Bottom line is it's a good feeling. And if you're like me and you combine food, the right kind of food and the right kind of program on TV, it's an extra good feeling of enjoyment, relaxation, music. Music, we enjoy it. It makes us feel good. Going to a concert it is a good feeling. Some of you enjoy working in the garden. Why do you like that? Why do you work in the garden? Why do you work your flower garden or your vegetable garden? Well, I like it. I like how it looks. I like the produce. I like what it produces. I enjoy it. When we eat, I like the feeling. Some of you enjoy shopping. I like to find a good bargain, right? It's a great feeling. You people enjoy hunting, fishing for the feeling. Video games. Some of you love video games. They're addicting, right? It's enjoyable. It's a feeling of competition. It's a feeling of victory. It's back to a feeling. And sports is a big pastime in our country and really in the world. And people love sports for the feeling of it. It's fun, right? Crafting. Maybe you like to craft or quilt or golf or play with your pets or play with your kids or your grandkids. And bottom line is it's a good feeling. Amen. It's a good feeling. It's fun. Okay? Some of you enjoy a clean house. Some of you enjoy cleaning the house to get a clean house. Right? Every place has a thing and everything in its place. Some of you love that. Cleanliness is next to godliness. That's your mantra. That's not scripture, by the way, but it sounds good. It sounds good. And so if we were to ask you, why do you like your house clean? Well, it's good. It's better. Everything, I know where everything is. Feels right. You like the feeling. And how does it feel if it's dirty or messy? Oh, I don't like it. It stresses me out. I can't find anything. I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. It's amazing how much of our life, how we live it, based on how we feel. All right, 1 Timothy 6:6 says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich..." Why do people want to be rich? You can do a lot with money. When you have money, you eliminate some of your worries of how are we going to pay for this, or what if this happens, what if this breaks, whatever. Although people who get more money tend to fill up the excess cushion of money with bills. And so, really, anyway, that doesn't always solve the stress issues. But more money, more fun, feels good, desire to be rich. They fall into a temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction for the love of money. Love of money. Do you feel the emotion in that, the craving? Love of money. By the way, why do people go to casinos? I'm not saying everybody, every time. I'm saying as a general principle, casinos are places where we're trying to get more money. And when we win more money, when someone wins more money, it feels great, right? Because money is a challenging thing in our lives. We have to have it and use it and deal with it, but it can be abused and it can take us down a harmful road. And I would argue casinos have done way more harm to our society than they have any good for any, quote, innocent, gaming. And so the feeling, just trying to dial us in on what we're doing for a feeling, the love of money, is the root of all kinds of evil. It's through this craving that some have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. And then Paul has a great passage in that he writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6:12, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but I will not be dominated by anything." And then we have these quotes, "Food is meant for the stomach and the stomach for food." That was a kind of a mantra, a common thought in the first century among a lot of people, even Christians, that, well, your body is just flesh and it's going to do what it does. Kind of like boys will be boys. Your body just craves and it's just going to be. And that's fine, was the conclusion of that. And Paul's making the statement here, no, that's not fine. God will destroy both one and the other. Hey, there's coming a day when, your earthly body is going to be destroyed. And so we need to be thinking about eternal things, right? And the body is not meant for sexual immorality. There were some that were arguing that whatever your body does, that your body's sinful anyway. And it's your spirit that matters. And Paul says, no, it's combined. And what it does matter what we do with our bodies. So the truth is we chase things that cause us to feel good. And we get to a point where we cross over into, okay, it used to be just for fun or pastime or appropriate, and now it's inappropriate. Now it's too much. Now I'm too focused on this. We get obsessed about things that cause us to feel good. And the one main point of this sermon is the fun, meaning the feeling, is not significant so many times. It's not significant, but it feels like it is. It's not important, but it feels like it's important. I'll give you an example. Competition. When Zach and I competed earlier in this waste paper basket contest, I wanted to win. Not just for you old folks, because we tested this out on Thursday, and I wanted to win that day too, and he beat me on Thursday, and it irritated me. Be quite honest. And I think it probably was going in today. He probably did beat me today, but it is amazing to me what competition, how it will draw you in. And your body's full of adrenaline and endorphins, and your heart's beating fast, and you want to win. And it doesn't matter if we're throwing paper wads in a basket. It doesn't matter what the game is, and it doesn't matter how many are watching, because only Yvette was watching Thursday, and I wasn't concerned about who was watching. I just wanted to beat him. It doesn't matter what we do, or anyone else for that matter. Competition, right? What is it about competition that gets us so hyped? And as a society, we really cling to this idea of be the best. You need to win. You need to be a winner. This world, I'm just saying what's common. This world's full of winners and losers, and you need to be a winner. I'm not saying sports are bad. I'm not saying games are bad. I'm asking you to understand, and this is something I've been thinking about for a while, trying to understand what is it about sports. And so for you, it may not be sports, by the way. So fill in the blank with whatever it is that drives you that maybe you can get too caught up in. But there's something about it. And it's similar to watching a movie. You ever watched a movie and the movie caused you to feel emotions of all kinds, right? Happy. You ever clapped in a movie? In a movie theater, you cheered. Movies can, of course, make us laugh. They can make us cry. Y'all remember the movie Awakenings? Anyone remember that old movie, you old folks, Awakenings? I cried in that movie, boo-hooed like a baby. I don't like to cry, so normally I don't watch movies that are sad. If it's a sad movie, enjoy. But anyway, I cried in the movie Coco. Toy Story, whichever Toy Story it was, one of those Toy Stories really got me. I think I cried in all of them, but one of them really got me. I'll watch a movie and the movie be about some villain and some person that's done such evil, and the main there's a hero character, and the hero character is after him, and I'm cheering, like, this person is so evil in the movie, I'm cheering for murder, I'm saying kill him, and it's not a lawful kill, right? But I'm still in my mind and in the movie, kill him, that person deserves to die, that's too fast of a kill, slow down. I mean, I'm so caught up. Right? Don't you do this? Don't you watch movies sometimes and get so enthralled in it? And then you catch yourself and you're thinking, what in the world am I doing? Yes, well, I'm having fun. Movies. Sporting events have the same power over us. I was at an OU-TCU game one year, and Stephanie and I went, and some friends of ours had tickets, and the tickets were down close to the field. And at one point, I don't even remember why, but I wandered up because the crowds were I don't know if it was, I don't know why, but there were some empty seats up higher, so I went up higher to see a little better, and I remember this moment in the game, and I'm by myself, and the game's kind of touch and go, and then OU breaks off a long run, and during this long run in this game, everyone cheers, and I'm here kind of by, there's no one right next to me, and Stephanie's not with me, and I'm doing this number, right? And it just kind of hits me, and I didn't change doing what I was doing. I still cheered. But in my mind, I'm like, this is kind of weird. This is a little weird. Not a lot weird. It didn't feel a lot weird, but in my mind where I understand what's real and what's true, this is a little weird. But what happens in sports is that's my team. Not only is my team winning, I feel like I'm winning. Right? I feel like I'm winning. There's something about victory, success, winning. It will make us jump and shout. And if it's our team, we get excited. And if it's our kid playing, just amplify that times a thousand, okay? I'm cheering at a volleyball scrimmage the other day. Scrimmage, folks. Cheering. It doesn't matter. If it's your kid, they can be throwing paper wads in a paper basket. Mom was cheering for me. Your kids is something about it. So, but we say, well, that's my team. Okay, well, good. Well, you don't understand. It's my NFL. That's a professional team that I'm cheering for. I'm so excited. They won the Super Bowl. So, well, you don't understand. That was my team. That's the Dallas Cowboys. That's a Super Bowl. They're world champs. Okay. Yeah, but I cheer for that team. So that means I'm partly a world champion at professional football. Okay. And well, it's fun. It's fun. That's the point of it. Do you know who won the Oklahoma High School Class 6A State Football Championship 1995? Kids, get your phones. Elbow a kid that's on their phone right now and have them Google. Have them look up State of Oklahoma 1995 High School Football Champions. Who was it? 1995. Look it up on your phone. 95? Oklahoma? I mean, I want to agree with it because Jinx pretty much wins every year. But according to what I looked up, Midwest City, Class 6A, 1995, Midwest City. You know who won it in 1970? That was a good year, by the way. 1970. That was a good year. No one won Class 6A. They didn't have 6A in 1970. No one won 5A. But Class 4A was Lawton. Lawton won it in 1970, Class 4A. Do you know who won it in 1955, State of Oklahoma High School. There wasn't Class 4A, 3A, 2A, or 1. I guess there was a 1A. There's a Class A. That's the biggest. Ada won it. Class B, Lindsay. Class C, Thomas. The way I feel about who won the state high school football championship in 1950 or 55 is how God feels about all these things that we get so caught up in. Look at this. I think this is a concert, by the way. I don't think this is a sporting event. Feeling. This is Egypt World Cup soccer. Emotion. We love the feeling. Tampa Bay Rays, a lot of excitement here. Hold on, does this thing work? Do I have a pointer on this? Look here. This guy cracks me up. Somebody needs to tell this guy he's at a baseball game. I don't know what he's doing. Anyway, Iranian volleyball. I watch volleyball now. I care about volleyball. I didn't know anything about it before. I can tell you a few things about it now. Cheer and shout. Feeling. What's this one? Netherlands and Denmark soccer. It's for the love of the feeling. Wow is right. Year 2000 when OU was playing in the national championship and won against Florida State. I remember watching that game. Watched it at my house with none other than Richard Prater in my living room, the two of us jumping around and shouting. Stephanie had a migraine, and she's in the bedroom with a migraine, and we had to lock down the volume, and we still jumped and silently shouted as we cheered the team on to victory. In silence. You think I'm joking? Not joking. Right? But we still jumping around and in our heads hooping and hollering because our team won. And the reality is God doesn't care. It's fun. And one thing I want us to understand is it's fun because of the value we place on it. That's why it's fun. Does that make sense? So there is something unique about competition that draws us in. And I don't know that that's always good. I know biblically I can't find you a scripture for it that says win. Be the winner. Win. I'm not saying go out there and try to lose. I'm just saying I don't think it's a Christian principle. Make sense? So it's important that we understand, why do I enjoy this fill in the blank so much? It makes me feel good. Okay, that's okay. But do I have it in its right priority? And so whatever it is, for you it may not be sports. It may be something else. Fill in the blank, whatever it is. Do I have it in the right place in my life? Or is it too big in my life? There's so much that we do for the love of the feeling. And here's a verse we're going to end with. 1 Timothy 4:8, for physical training is of some value. Why? Well, it makes me healthier. Okay. Well, when I'm healthier, I feel better. Okay. So that sounds good. I love the feeling when after I exercise. I just feel good. Okay, that's good. And then, so the more I, you know, the better I do with my physical fitness, just the healthier I am, then that's good. That's not bad. I'm not saying that's bad. And Scripture doesn't say it's bad. Scripture says it has, what does it say? Some value. But godliness has value for all things. And that's where it's so easy for us to get things out of priority, where we get caught up in something that does have some value and it makes us feel good, but we get to where we can get led astray and we can be chasing and put so much of our life into this thing that makes me feel good. And what am I doing with my walk with God or service to God? And ironically, by the way, there's no more pure feeling than you'll ever have than serving God. Serving God. And you'll find God rewards us with joy, a very pure joy. Tom Cotting was texting me yesterday about the backpacks being given out, and he's just bragging on different ones and bragging on you and sending me pictures. And in one of his texts, he said, I'm pumped. And that's what God will do. When you're doing something in God's name and in God's way, there is a pureness of joy that comes with that that is... it's unmatched. So I remind you, realign. You know, a lot of the times in these sermons and on Sundays, it's a good time for us to get back lined up where we need to be, get pointed where we need to be. So let God have His way in your life. We're going to sing the song of encouragement, and this is a time, if you have something on your heart that we could lift up and pray for you about, we'd love to do that. If there's one here that's never given your life to Christ, maybe you've never had your sins washed away in baptism. If there's something we can do to help you, please come while we stand and sing.
Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with Him?